very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to your favorite figure skating podcast, The Run Through, where we talk about all the things that made us kiss, make us kiss, made us kiss, make us cry, and make us talk about day two of the team event, which I do have to say I'm excited to hear about.
You were a bit busy during the team event.
Yeah, I'll introduce myself and then explain why I said that. I'm not Olympic champion Sarah Hughes. Ashley Wagner and Adam Rippon are also here, and they know more about what happened in the figure skating today than I do. I was a little bit busy. Just so everybody knows, Ashley and I are working on the same show in the Milan of the United States, Stamford, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous this time of year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really is. It's minus 10 outside right now, Adam.
Awful. It's so windy and awful.
Wait, what? I took a walk by the door, and there's like a fair share of LA people here. And so I took a walk by the door, and I hear someone going, "Ugh, it's so cold outside." And I'm like, "LA, must be LA." I walk outside. I go, "What the fuck is this?"
Are you
and I immediately hold it my dropped. Phone up and I go, "Hey Siri, how cold is it?" And she gave me a degree, and I'm like, "No. How cold is it with wind chill?"
Yeah, it got very, very windy today. And where we're staying in Connecticut is like kind of on the sound, like on the water. Mm-hmm. And so the wind is extra strong over here. And it's freezing.
Okay.
We could have gone to the Winter Olympics to escape winter.
It does
we
feel like
could
I'm
have
escaping
gone to any singular location there and escaped this.
Yeah, I know.
So, Sarah.
Adam, how was your day two?
Oh, my day two was great. I filmed a segment today that was all about the fashion in Milan, and nothing says fashion like a Ralph Lauren NBC company jacket. And
that's true.
I got to interview people on the street, and then I got to act, and this is what I do best. I want everyone to know that. Like a clown on the streets of Milan.
It really is your strong suit.
It is. Like, it's my
strong
suit.
And I mean this
suit.
Is high praise. You are so good at being the clown.
Yeah. Laugh clown. Cry clown.
Dance monkey dance.
Yeah, my day two was good, and I made it over to the figure skating arena for the very first time.
Yeah.
I did. Oh somebody texted.
It was Michelle Ellis. Sorry, it was Michelle. I'm allowed to take texts from Michelle during the
you
show because she's an honorary co-host.
Now, Sarah,
shout out
what
to Michelle. I texted her mid-show, but I knew that she wasn't on air, so I felt okay doing this, but I had a research question, and she got back faster than this internet at the hotel, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
She's
on it.
It's just the best. She knows everything. She's a like encyclopedia of figure skating knowledge.
No, she really is. Now, Sarah, what is your like? Can you explain your job to everybody?
I can try.
Of why you didn't watch the team event. You have to explain yourself because it's not right. As somebody who didn't watch most of the skating yesterday, but still had an opinion on it, me.
Right. Based on
vibes.
The jump sheets.
It's your vibe.
Based on vibes. It's
your
vibe.
It's your vibe. And my vibe is, so Ashley and I are working on the same show. It's called Gold Zone. It goes from about 8 a.m. to about 5 p.m. every day on Peacock and NBCSN for those tracking at home. And it is a basically like, it's inspired by NFL Red Zone. It's essentially a whip around show where we jump around to whatever is live all day long. And so I sit in the control room and look at, 20 different feeds of everything that we have coming in and try to keep up with everything that's happening live. and try to move around to make sure we don't miss, like, you know, oh, the Americans are coming up in ski jump, so we have to get off of the snowboard big air right now. We need to go to the ski jump because an American's about to go. And then we have to, like, make sure, oh, well, Ilya Malinin is going to skate in, like, 37 minutes or whatever. So we're kind of in the back of our mind thinking we want to make sure we, like, get to him. And, like, then we're like, oh, let's go to, like, four boxes because there's four different curling matches going on at one time. We could show all of it. But then, you know, you don't always know, like, if the announce team is calling everything that's happening on your screen. So you're trying to listen to their audio to make sure that you don't, like, catch, like, dead air where nothing's being said to the audience. Mm-hmm. And so then we have studio hosts that include Ashley, who are kind of traffic cops who help the audience understand, like, where we're going and why and what's coming up and everything. And so I'm telling them where we're going and what we're doing and kind of instructing the control room as to, like, what we're trying to, what we're doing and what the plan is and what we're doing next. And so basically all of that to say, the figure skating team event was on all day in front of me, but we were not taking it full screen all the time because there were other things going on that we, you know, were more of a priority for the audience at different times. So some of the figure skating programs we aired fully and I got to see those a bit, but some of them we didn't air at all. And so, you know, and obviously people watching figure skating can just be on the figure skating feed. They don't need to watch Gold Zone. But our point is to jump around. So we just, like, yeah, we didn't show everybody. And even when we're showing somebody, it's hard for me to actually be watching because I need to be thinking about where we're going to go next and telling everyone where we're going to go next so that everybody's ready for when the figure skating program we're on ends, for instance. Right. So the person I feel like I was able to watch the closest today was, of course, my son, Yuma Kageyama, who I think would be a great starting place for us. Adam, did you go to the figure skating today?
Yes, I saw it all.
Tell me, Yuma Kageyama won the men's short program in the team event over Ilya Malinin. They both stood up. Ilya had some tightness on some jumps. He got an under rotation call. Yuma was glorious.
Couldn't
a delight.
Have been better.
Masterclass.
Yeah.
That was the best short program I've ever seen from him. Even though that's not his personal best, like, I don't give a fuck. That was the best I've ever seen him.
Well, and it's the moment, right? I feel like that contributes to it being the best you ever see from someone is, did they rise to the occasion of something? And this is so, this is huge pressure. Like, Japan is right there chasing the U.S., in the team event standings, and to beat Ilya,
and then to beat Ilya
in this segment, you know, like, I think we all think that in the individual event, if this happened, Ilya has so much advantage in the free skate that it wouldn't ultimately matter. But in this, it matters so much to get that extra point on the U.S. Like, that was amazing.
He's,
like,
a hero.
He's a hero.
He's a hero.
Completely.
Yeah, he's a hero.
Adam, tell us about it in real life. I need to hear.
In real life, it was just like watching something that he just couldn't put a foot wrong, and you could just feel it. Like, it's just one of those skates where you could just feel from the moment he started and his little stupid fucking smirk showed up on the Jumbotron, and you're like, this kid is in it. And he was cheesing it the entire time. He was getting everybody, like, riled up in the crowd. I've never seen him perform like this. I've seen him do these elements individually like this. But all together, it was, like, the perfect package. It was a perfect short program. And even if Ilya skated clean, it would have been incredibly close. It would have been incredibly close.
I think even if he skated completely clean, Yuma was better, would have been better. Like, he was
Yuma was the best of the night. And that's me thinking about Ilya skating perfect for him. Like, that was, I mean, Adam, you and I FaceTimed right before this and we were talking about him. And it's just like, no, that was perfection. That was actual perfection. Every single element was, I can't see him completing it any better.
Yeah.
And then you looked up his, not jump sheet, his.
No, his protocol.
His protocol. Thank you. His protocol, and the lowest grade of execution that he got was a +1.
amazing.
Right.
On a spin.
Yeah, on the Change Camel
which
spin,
crazy.
Which everyone which else crazy. Gave him plus threes and fours. So
yeah, so
it was a drop.
So, yeah, the one got thrown out anyway. Yeah.
I had non-skating friends texting me about his performance. And I haven't, like, I don't talk to my non-skating friends about skating all that much. And so for them to be like, oh, my God, yeah. I'm obsessed with this guy. He's so cute. Like, the way he's yes. skating is really, like, that means something. Mm-hmm. He charmed the nation.
Yeah.
Charmed
I mean,
the nation.
And you know what? I would even say that this result is really good for the, it's not, it. This does, like, put a wrench in Team USA's plans to get a gold medal. So it's not like a runaway there. And in fact, Japan is hot on their heels. But I think yep. this is good for both Yuma and Ilya because I'm assuming, and this is based on no intel, that Yuma might not do the free skate. And
Yuma's not doing the free skate. It's out. It's okay. Shun Sato is doing so it. Ilya is doing it.
I mean, that also makes sense.
Ilya
all
is
of that
is
makes
doing
sense
it.
To me.
Yes. Yep. And good. That, I mean, that is the right call because.
Completely.
It is just, mm-hmm. that is the right call. But I think this is good for the both of them because I think Yuma, this is like, he punched in, punched out, did that great skate. He beat Ilya and then he's going to start the individual event. Like, what momentum to have for yourself. And especially being on the NBC side of things, there's just been so much thrown at Ilya
yeah.
that, you know, I mean, doing so many segments while he's here, so many things that just are not normal at a normal figure skating competition, and so mm-hmm. much attention. He's in every fucking advertisement. He's in everything. And I think mm-hmm. that, like, in the 6-minute warm-up, he looked solid as a rock. And I think that mm-hmm. when he went out there, you could see that, like, he was, like, a bit tight throughout. You know, just, like, wasn't figuring out his body totally. And he made it to the end, and he figured it out. And it was, like, he did enough to get his job done.
It was kind of like what you said you observed in Alyssa
exactly.
in the short program where he yes. just kind of was a little like, and he just had to figure it out every time.
Yes.
And
it was, but I think that this is like the real like smackdown to reality that he needs where it's like, okay, no, like take a deep breath. We really got to lock in. Like this is not mm-hmm. a free for all. This is not like Jim Jamboree. This is the Olympic Games. He looks very ready. He looks very good. And I think this team yeah. event, and especially this short program, I think that this is really good for him because it's just like that, like, it feels like the reality check of like, okay, no, it like everybody is showing up to play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that this happened the way that it did. For the sake of just him kind of getting grounded, getting pulled back down into this event. And that's not me saying he has a big head. It's more just when you're going into an event and every single interview you have, every news outlet, every person is saying like, Ilya Malinin, Olympic gold, Olympic gold, Olympic gold. I just think it's good to be like, oh, wait, no. I have to get my job done still.
Yeah, because you can,
and,
I think.
You know, Sarah brought up a good point. Like, if this was the individual event, or maybe it was Adam, but if this was the individual event, like, we still wouldn't be worried. He would still be making up the points.
I'm still not worried.
I
stand by what I just said, which is that I don't know that Yuma was beatable today by Ilya. I really don't. Like, unless Ilya had thrown in, like, the quad axel. Mm-hmm. Which might have been like which we thought maybe he would do, but I think without it, like Yuma just like you said, could not put a foot wrong, and their technical content is not spaced far enough apart in the short program to make up for, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Yuma's just like,
yeah,
he's gonna have a little bit better PCS when he skates cleanly, and especially when Ilya doesn't. But I think even if both of them are clean, I think you're gonna see. You're going to see Yuma outscore him in the PCS, and he did today. And I just think that might have happened regardless. I mean, it would have been close. It would have been close either way.
It would have been close because, like, as
but, like, he beat him by 10 points, just to be clear. Like,
no.
You know what I mean?
Know.
It was not.
I mean, yeah.
So I'm not worried about Ilya at all. And I don't even think of it even as like a reality check, because I think Ilya approaches the short program as like the one he can afford to be a little off in, because mm-hmm. that's always sort of mm-hmm. been the case. He lost the short program at the Grand Prix final too. Like, this is this is the way it goes.
It happens.
Like, and so I think if anything, it's maybe a reality check on all of us who are like, oh yeah, Ilya's going to win the men's short program in the team event. I don't know why I was thinking that was a foregone conclusion. Obviously it wasn't. And he skated well and Yuma skated better. And that's that. So
in so many ways, I feel like the two are kind of, I mean, yeah, they're going head to head in this competition, but I feel like these two stories are completely unrelated. Like for Yuma, I'm like, God, I'm so happy he had that Olympic moment. That's so huge for him. And then for Ilya, I'm like, yeah, I'm not even worried about that. Like, it doesn't,
and it was still like it was
all.
Still good.
It was still a
yeah, and it shouldn't.
Like, well, it was still competitive.
Yeah, it shouldn't phase him.
It's
either.
Not like he was bad.
Exactly,
he wasn't bad by any means.
Good.
Like, also,
we're spoiled.
He was good.
We're sitting
Yuma
here
was
being
just
like he's
perfect.
In second. Like, we have to talk about this. Like, it's big news because he's in second. Because that's how spoiled we are with Ilya.
Well, it's the 10 points. That's like
that's
what it
is.
That's
what it is. Yeah. So. Yeah, so I think it just, like, I don't know. I'm happy that he is doing the free skate. A, I think that's the best move strategically for the U.S. And B, I think Ilya probably is not thrilled that he got second, regardless of whether he's worried about the skating. He's probably not thrilled about that. So I think I'll be glad to see him kind of reset, do the free skate.
Yeah,
me too. And I think that he's going to be glad to do it too. Hello, Steven Gogolev. Just...
Wow. When Canada needed him to show up, he showed out.
Not
that
Canada.
Was fabulous.
Maddie Skeezes.
That's right.
That's true. That's true.
When Maddie Skeezes needed something done.
To that. She said, get Steven on it.
Call Steve.
I mean, I was watching him and I was watching him like, okay.
I mean, you
like,
guys,
that was great.
You guys have to tell me, obviously, but the top five men all being above an 87, like, pretty good event, you know? I mean, not that
makes
they all
me
were
scared,
perfect,
Sarah.
But...
I'm worried that they got the good juju out now.
No, it's
actually,
your
like,
vibe.
Really solid.
It's your
vibe. It's your vibe, Ashley.
It was,
don't worry.
It was a really, like, solid event.
Really solid.
I mean,
that's the right word.
Steven was great, and then Kevin came out, and I was like, let's go.
Judas is back.
Judas is back?
Yeah.
Wait, Judas is back?
I wasn't up to date on this. I didn't realize, because you guys told me that Judas had left, and then I'm watching this, and Judas is back.
Judas left. I read a rumor that he might bring it back, but I was not able to hear it today. So, okay, Judas is back.
Okay.
The only thing that he did differently that I hadn't noticed was he used to do the like with like the booty pump. That was gone.
Well, he had to class it up.
It's not worldly enough.
But I really want to talk about the free dance for a second. There's something I have to talk about.
This
I
saw
you texted
bit
the
more
group,
of, but I want to know exactly
I said,
what you're.
I have some things that I need to say.
Say them.
I'm ready.
And I'm saving them for
I'm
the podcast.
Take a sip of my wine as I wait for this.
Okay.
Oh my god, my wine is so far away, but I'm joining you.
Okay. it's about Madison Chalk and Evan Bates.
Adam and I started to have this conversation and we shut it down.
Yes. I'm going to say that sitting in the arena, being in Italy, being in Milan Cortina 2026, tonight was the very first night that I think that this free dance is like nice, cool. But it was always to me like painted black, like I.
We couldn't have gotten more creative here.
Yes.
Kind of a vibe.
I just was thinking like maybe something, I don't know, like, okay, whatever you want, guys. And tonight I for the very first time, I saw the vision. It was,
okay.
And I have to tell you, in the arena, this is what I think Charlene and Marco thought that they were doing, but they like out Italianed them. The moment that Maddie opened her skirt, the entire audience went, they gasped.
Really?
They
It's because
gasped.
The red is back.
And yeah. It's like, I always think that like when the costumes complement the arena, you can just feel like there's like this energy about it where it's just like everything is in the right place at the right time.
Right. They were like Italian.
And it was from the moment she opened that skirt up. And then I was like, okay, let me see. And I felt personally that they were skating quite fast. And it was this sometimes reserved style of performance that they give it with. I just kind of felt on the edge of my seat for the very first time with this free dance. And it just worked. And it was so impactful in the arena. And I took the subway home. And when I was taking the subway home, almost like, you know, I'd be by somebody and I'd hear them humming Painted Black. And then I'd be like a few like people over and I'd hear them humming Painted Black. And I'm like, this was the vision. And for some reason, this like Matador theme really connected with like this building and this audience. And it was so Olympic. It was so Olympic.
I did kind of feel that, and obviously we weren't there, but we did show it on our show. Ashley was in the show as an analyst at the moment when we were doing this, so Ashley and I sort of watched it together. I did feel like it was more of a moment than I've seen it be.
Yeah. I mentioned this to Adam earlier. I just feel like as soon as you get contrast on the skirt, I'm glad that there's contrast. Don't get me wrong. I think it looks really cool. And I love what you're saying, Adam, about like when you match the arena. I think there's magic there. I really do. I think it's so special. It feels like kismet. But I feel like the red makes the skirt look heavier because you see more of the movement. And so then as soon as, to me, something looks heavier, it looks slower. And so that was my main takeaway.
After watching Glitter and Gold and now thinking about it for 1 second, I know exactly why you're thinking what you're thinking. If you remember in Glitter and Gold, they were talking about how they were changing the skirt a little bit and they did not line it. And so it was only one panel. And obviously, if there's red underneath the black, there's two panels. So if it looks heavier, it is heavier.
Yeah. That was my only thing, is just I felt like it looked a little bit slower. That being said, the way that they were performing and like even just that ending pose, I mean, like Maddie's fucking mug.
Yeah.
Is worth $1 million.
Always.
Always. And forever.
Always.
Alyssa Edwards.
The mug that launched insane. 1,000 ships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the skating on top of that, I mean, I feel like they just look like champions. They're skating like champions.
Yeah. I think it's always like there's always something about a presence, right? There's always something about a presence. And especially in this free dance where there was not a Guillaume and Laurence in it. There was not a Piper and Paul. Like, the Italians were there, but I think, like, other than that, there was not, like, veteran teams as much in this. And so that made Maddie and Evan's presence stand out even more, I think. So...
Yeah. Wait, can we talk about, I just want to like, obviously we're going to get there, but the Canadians, La Joie, La Gare.
That's where I was going to go.
Like, this White Crow program is just, she's bleeding by the, she bleeds for her craft. Are you kidding me?
I mean, also just like, what are we doing with the scores? No, what are we doing with the scores?
I think they're like one of the best teams in the world, and
they are. They are
sitting in the middle.
This shit pisses me off, and it has for this entire quad. And as Piper and Paul's newest biggest fan,
right?
I do,
as you say every episode.
I am going to say it every episode because I want. I think
you mean it.
I do mean it, but I also do think that LaJoie Laga have been so mistreated because they're in a country where another good team is. And have been so like underscored for so many years. And it just pains me to watch it because they are excellent. And this material, to Ashley's point, is excellent. And I just don't know where you're finding, like, I mean,
holes?
Their technical score was like 8 points lower than Maddie and Evans. For where? For what? Like, what are we talking about? You know what
for
I mean?
Where,
and I know
for what?
It's so
for
confusing.
Where and for what? For where?
Who, for what, why? When, where, why?
So.
For sure.
I'm glad that they got the opportunity to skate the free dance. I loved being able to see them, this program, already earlier on Olympic ice. Did you, Adam, any takeaways from the Italians in the building tonight between Daniel Grossel and Guignard Fabbri?
There, I mean, obviously there's like this big Italian, like, yay, that's the home. Yay, that's the home. And they all scream that, right?
They go, okay,
okay.
Then they go, home.
It's your vibe.
Okay, it's your vibe.
But like an Olympic audience is so international and it's obviously local as well, but it's mostly international that, I mean, the biggest applause of the night was when Ilya came out onto the ice. Like that was the biggest.
You could hear it. You could absolutely hear that.
Oh,
it was
crazy. It was like building shaking. Like
yeah.
He was, and Maddie and Evan as well. When Maddie and Evan came out, like it was like these, like the two American.
They're like
teams.
Gladiators. That's so cool.
And obviously there was just like a lot of excitement around Charlene and Marco's skate. Nobody was more excited than Barbara Fusarpoli.
Of course.
I was trying to explain that Barbara was to one of my co-hosts. And
what did you say?
I think I said, that's Barbara Fusarpoli.
They said, thank you.
Yeah. And you should know who that is. And it's crazy that you don't already. She's a household name.
Up. Yeah, she is a staple in this economy.
So as we look ahead, we have the three free skates tomorrow.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
I think,
but only 15 skates.
Only 15 skates.
Should we do a little math?
Yeah. Does somebody have
you can
the math? So this is what like my assumption of the math is. My assumption is, let's assume that we're getting clean skates.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's assume
we're getting clean skates. I believe what we will see or should see if we get clean skates from everybody is Japan will win the pairs free skate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think it's very plausible that Ellie and Danny get fifth again.
Agreed. Yeah, I could see it happening.
Even clean, if everybody's clean. Now that just could change if somebody else has it.
Right.
Theirs is volatile. We know that. But I think the U.S. should strategically assume that Ellie and Danny are fifth and Japan is first.
Mm-hmm.
So that where that shakes them out is that going into the women's free and the men's free, the U.S. will have a 1 point lead.
Yep.
And so you have Ilya, who I do think we all assume will win the men's free skate.
Yes.
And I think it's okay to assume that Shun Sato is second in the free skate. Like, he's consistent.
I agree.
So then you have 2 points to play with, quote unquote, for the women. And so I think, I don't know, what do you guys think? But I keep coming back to this, like, I think it all comes down to Kaori Sakamoto and Amber Glenn.
1,000%. I think everything else is not that it's pre-decided, but it's pretty obvious what's going to happen. And so in order for them to be competitive and have a shot, Kaori Sakamoto has to win. And we have wiggle room with Amber Glenn. The U.S. is in a good spot right now.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
But she can't be like fourth. She can't.
No,
be.
No,
she can't.
But we still have some wiggle room. I feel like for where she's at and the women that she's up against, like she has wiggle room.
Yeah. She assuming it all goes the way I just said.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what will happen in the pairs and the men. Like if Ilya doesn't win the men's event, like that's a totally different equation. If, you know, the Japanese have a tough program in pairs, that's a totally different equation. If let's say like Canada and Italy have bad pairs programs and Ellie and Danny end up in like third, that's a totally different equation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I do feel like the women are the biggest variable here for how shakes out between Japan and USA.
Right. I mean, I think that we're going to know like how it will kind of all shake out by the time we get to the men's free skate, which is the last mm-hmm. free skate of the the team event. But mm-hmm. you've got to imagine that, like, if we did that math so quickly and so effortlessly, by the way, congratulations,
yeah. Thank you, Sarah,
the run through
for your effort.
Thank you.
That you have to imagine that Amber Glenn also knows that, and that's a lot of pressure.
I'm hoping that
there's
she's
a lot
not,
of pressure on her for sure.
I'm hoping that they're just not telling her the standings.
Mm-hmm. Stop you know, doing
like,
math.
If she's up to date on the status of the Minions music rights, like she's
she's doing math. You can't
she's unfortunately doing math.
We do get to see Jaws on Olympic ice tomorrow.
Finally.
We are a blessed nation. And world.
We are blessed. We are blessed. Mm-hmm. Wow.
What a day two.
I'm sorry, guys.
What a day two.
What a day two.
Really also, I know we've spent a ton of time on Japan versus the U.S., but the standings between Italy and Canada and even Georgia are close.
I mean, this is the... I know. It's
the bronze is the most exciting.
Italy is ahead of Canada. Italy is in third. Canada's in fourth behind Italy by 2 points. And Georgia's mm-hmm. in fifth, and they are behind Italy by 5 points. So all three of these teams are within 5 points of each other. Like there's a lot of things that can happen with three programs to shake up 5 points.
It's true.
It's amazing.
Anything could happen. Who do you guys give me your podium?
I'm going to go USA, Japan, Italy. I'm going to go Italy. Yeah. I think they're going to pull
too.
It off.
I think so.
That's what I think.
That's the podium.
I mean, the Italians have looked... I mean, Conti and Machi, like, they were the big question mark to me, and their short program was so impressive. And Lara, yeah, I think, will be solid. And Matteo Rizzo, I think, will be solid. You know, like, I just don't think we have, like, a... disaster in our God willing
right
I don't want anyone to have a disaster.
God, Sarah,
I do
what
think Italy is gonna pull
about?
This off,
but you know what, I Canada, I also just feel like there's some Steven for me really kind of was like okay
Steven has looked great this all season.
Yes.
I Canada I'm
I mean
a
that's
bit
true
worried
it's
about
not coming
pairs.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't wait for day three.
Thank God they're skating to the mission. That's going to help them out.
Yeah, you love that.
At least
that.
In your
yeah.
eyes.
Well, do you guys have anything you want to
day
anything
two.
You want to add? That's
no.
the end of day two.
No, it's 1:30 here.
No, it's 1:30.
Oh, yeah, it is 1:30
in the
morning.
I have a 4
a.m.
call
Adam
time.
Is.
We're all going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah and I have takeout. We've got Thai food on the way.
Yeah, we've got work to do. We've got work to do.
We do have work to do. We have work.
If you haven't heard it and you're listening to these daily episodes, our Ice Dance preview is out for the Ice Dance event. Maybe by the time you listen to this, the men's preview will be out for the men's event because that's coming out on Sunday. So listen to those to get yourselves ready for the other events and keep tuning into the reactions if you're enjoying them. And feel free to stop by our Patreon if you want to support a few people in need as they sleep 5 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
As Adam okay. sits, and it's 1:30 a.m.
mm-hmm. As they melt into this
okay.
chair.
It's time for us to eat and go to bed.
Yes.
So.
Oh, wait. I'm doing a segment tomorrow, and I'm skating on Olympic ice. I weaseled my way into it.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a weasel.
Yeah.
He's
so
what are the critters called? The mascots?
Termites. No. No. Ferrets.
No, the mascots are called Milo and Tina for Milano
yeah, but what
and Cortina.
They're an animal.
Oh.
They're like snipes or something.
Snoots.
Sneets.
Is that what it's called? Smotes?
Snoots.
Ah, tomato, tomato, sneeps night.
But that's what you are.
Great.
Okay, now.
Okay.
Take it away. Okay. On that note.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Day 3.
Okay. Bye.